ATS Podcast. We are back. My name is Matthew Gordon, alongside my new co-host, my rookie co-host, I should say, for his first time today. He's making his debut on the podcast. His name is Max Zucker, and we're here to talk some sports. Max, how are we today, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that intro. That was wonderful, as always. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to talk some ball and ready to get started.
Let's do it. And for those of you that are tuning in, again, Max is a very good friend of mine. We grew up together, and you know, I figured he'd be a really nice piece to just talk in sports with, and I'm excited to get going with him. So thank you for joining today, man. We have a lot to talk about, and there are definitely a lot has happened recently since I last podcasted, and you know, I'm talking about a Super Bowl. We have some debates to go over. We have some NBA to talk about, some All-Star game debacles, whatever. So, Max, you watched the Super Bowl, and from somebody that rode the Niners, I do apologize. I was all over the Chiefs. I thought this was a Mahomes game, and it was. I'm not saying I'm God, but it's pretty easy to say at this point that Patrick Mahomes is coming for Tom Brady's throne. And I would just love to talk about the game itself before we talk about the Brady-Mahomes type of comparison. So what were your takeaways from the game overall? Did you enjoy the game? You know, what kind of stuck out to you? Because honestly, I have a lot to say about it, but I want to hear what you have to say, and I'll see where our points kind of, you know, where they match up.
Yeah, for sure. It was, I thought it was a good Super Bowl. I thought it ended up being a competitive game. We got our second Super Bowl overtime ever, which was exciting. I mean, it started out a bit slow. Both defenses sort of lived up to their billing, played hard, played tough, played well. But the main takeaway for me is Patrick Mahomes is that guy. He is the face of the sport. He's the best player in the sport. And he's really taken the league by the neck, and he doesn't seem to be letting go anytime soon. This was one of those years where the Chiefs looked shaky all year. They didn't really look like the Chiefs until the playoffs started, and it didn't really seem to matter. When the going got tough, the tough got going, and they turned it on, and the best player in the sport won the biggest game in the sport. So, I mean, yeah, that was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, pretty well spoken there. I mean, definitely agree with you on the slow part. I think it started off to be a little bit of a snooze fest. I think a lot of us were kind of confused. Very good defensive, you know, a lot of playmakers on the defensive end. But then the offense started picking up. And honestly, you know, Mahomes at this point, and we're going to touch on it a little bit more, but at this point, like, I tell this to everybody, you can't necessarily bet against this guy in any situation. He is taking over the league. It doesn't matter who he's throwing to, as long as, honestly, like Kelsey, yes, but even he took a little bit of a fall off this season. So he's pretty unstoppable at this point. And I thought it was a great Super Bowl. I don't think it was up there for like one of the greatest. I thought it was a good, you know, the end kind of redeemed itself. And the Chiefs, man, I mean, from the start, they did not look very good this season, and they had a lot of offensive struggles. Like, the Chiefs couldn't really move the ball in the regular season. All of a sudden, the playoffs, we have Kelce turning back to what he usually does. You know, MVS isn't dropping balls all of a sudden. Rashee Rice is turning into a pretty legit option. So things just really turned around for the Chiefs. And, you know, if you have Andy Reid and Mahomes and Kelce, it's really hard to stop them offensively. So I'm with you on that. I do want to talk about the dynasty of the Kansas City Chiefs. They now have three Super Bowls, and Mahomes is, what is he, 28 now, 27? I mean, he's like not even close to.
Not even close to 30.
I mean, yeah. So do you think, I mean, it's so crazy to just even like have this debate, because Tom Brady winning seven Super Bowls, like that seemed untouchable. And I'm at this point where I'm already convinced that Mahomes, he's not a greater quarterback than Brady, but I think he's just a more talented QB. Do you agree with that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say he's on the Brady trajectory, and he's probably on path to be more accomplished than TB12, which is crazy to say because the guy has seven Super Bowls. I mean, I'm sure he retired and everyone said, well, we'll never see that again. We'll never see seven Super Bowls again. But here we are with Patrick Mahomes, who's already won three before he's 30. I would say He is more talented than Brady. It's hard to measure intangibles against each other and leadership and sort of all that other stuff. But just in terms of pure talent, I think what's most impressive about Mahomes is that he's now won three Super Bowls with completely different supporting casts and completely different situations. Like his first Super Bowl, he had Tyreek Hill, he had Sammy Watkins, he had elite speed on the outside. Chiefs have sort of morphed themselves into more offensive line, tough running the ball team. Like he still has Kelce, but they got a good defense. They have an elite secondary, and just sort of seeing the way things change around him, but the results stay the same, the success stays the same. I think that's really the most impressive part of him.
Yeah. I mean, he's been resilient in any situation in the playoffs. It's just like there's no more words to describe his success at this point. It is just astonishing. I think everybody in the world is impressed. I think he's impressed with himself, but they also believe in themselves. And that defense this year was definitely the best defense they've had. I mean, unstoppable secondary. Snead and McDuffie were just a crazy duo. Chris Jones, arguably one of the best players, if not the best player in the NFL. They really had everything on the defensive end, but the offensive struggles, man. Like, from a fantasy owner of almost every player in that offense, I dreaded watching them play sometimes. Just like when the Raiders went up on them big that one game, they ended up coming back and winning that game. But like the Miami game in Germany, like, there were a lot of lows for the Chiefs. So it's really crazy to see that they won a Super Bowl with that season being their season. So that's, yeah, I mean, it's
It's
crazy.
really one of those things where like you have Reed, you have Mahomes, the rest really doesn't matter. As bad as it looks during the year, they will figure it out at some point. And like it
Always.
really looked bad all year.
Yet they look terrible, but all that matters is the playoffs. It's a completely different game. That's why we see Mahomes in situations every year. They're a dynasty. And honestly, they might reach the Pats. But let's talk about, and we kind of touched on Brady and Mahomes. Let's talk about the NFL awards that happened. Not so much controversy, in my opinion. Thought they were pretty accurate for the most part. Lamar won his second MVP. Joe Flacco won NFL Comeback Player of the Year. I will definitely want to talk about that. McCaffrey won Offensive Player of the Year. Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year. Will Anderson won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Myles Garrett, Defensive Player of the Year. And then CJ Stroud won Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I think those are like pretty much it. I think Jim Schwartz won the Coach of the Year. So Texans sweep the rookie awards. I think we're pretty familiar with rookies sweeping the offensive and defensive rookie awards. Max is a
2 years in
avid
a row.
fan. Yep. Max is an avid Jets fan. So he's all on the Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner bandwagon. But CJ Stroud, I just want to touch on him because I think it's very interesting that Bryce Young is in this terrible situation and a lot of people are overlooking him. I'm personally a Bryce Young believer. I believe that while he may not be as good as CJ Stroud, I do think that he was put in the wrong situation with terrible coaching and terrible playmakers. What are your thoughts on the whole Bryce Young debacle, honestly? Because, like, is he really, are we, I mean, we're obviously not going to write him off. It's been a year, but what are your thoughts and takeaways on Bryce's season and what's an outlook for the future? Because Panthers don't have a first round pick this year, so that's a mess. But what do we think?
Yeah, great question. And I like that you mentioned that I'm an avid Jets fan because that's going to sort of play into my answer here. Because I think that the most important thing for rookie quarterback success when he's drafted into the league is situation. I think culture, play caller, offensive line, weapons, all that matters so much to the general success of the quarterback. And I've seen my own franchise ruin countless prospects who had promise, had talent, and when the situation's bad, they really don't have a chance. And I think that's what happened to Bryce this year. Bryce was awesome in college. He was a point guard. He could spread the ball around. He can move in the pocket well. He can create, on the run, on the move. And he just got put in a bad situation with a new owner who doesn't really know what he's doing. He had a coach that was fired like what, 9, 10 games in. New play caller, new everything, bad offensive line. Adam Thielen was his number one receiver who like shout out Adam Thielen. He had a pretty good year,
Shout
but
out Adam Thielen, man.
that is not the way to build a modern NFL offense. We'll see what happens with Bryce. I like Dave Canales. I like the new coach, but it's tough. I mean, I have a question for you because I kept hearing this swirling around. Do you think a quarterback Bryce's size can be successful in the NFL? Or do you think someone someone that skinny, that small, just doesn't really have the body to be an NFL quarterback.
Well, I'm a believer in it. I'm a believer in Bryce. I think the question itself is interesting because we haven't really seen that. We haven't really seen a short, small quarterback be successful. Kyler Murray is good. I mean, he was hurt all year and came back and was fine, but he's not a superstar by any means. You look at the NFL quarterbacks, they're all athletes. They're all big athletes that can run and that are hard to tackle. And a lot of them are just, they just have a bigger frame. So I think he needs to bulk up a little bit. I just don't know. I would like to say they can be successful. I'm a believer in Bryce. I know the track record hasn't necessarily shown it, but it's just tough to really say. So it's like a little bit of a confusing answer for me because I just can't tell. But based on history, obviously no. But I think there might be some opportunity for Bryce to be a superstar just because I think, I just think there's the NFL, just like the game, like any sport, like Steph Curry changed the entire sport of the NBA. Like, you never know. The small quarterback that can run pretty fast and that can be elusive and quick may end up taking over the league. You never know how the league will shift. The league shifted to running quarterbacks. We see Lamar Jackson taking over the league. We're watching, I mean, all these guys like Josh Allen uses his legs, Mahomes uses his legs. That was never really a thing. Mike Vick was the only guy that could really use his legs, and he was not very good for very long. He was good for when he was good. But I just think it's an interesting question. I think, the era today of the NFL, I think it's an interesting approach for a team to kind of like, what QB do they want? Do they want a pocket passer? Do you like, is the Aaron Rodgers type of quarterback done? Are we focusing on just like dual threat quarterbacks? Is Jaden Daniels that guy? Or is like Drake May, like he's somewhat mobile, he's not as mobile as Jaden Daniels. I think it's a very complex debate that it will never have an answer. We just need it. We need the NFL. We need these like days to happen. We need to just see it because the speculation is just not going to do anything. I don't know. It's just like it's an interesting topic. I'm glad you brought that up because like I love the new era. I think that the league's in great hands. I think with all the new quarterbacks that are up and coming, especially with Caleb Williams coming in, and Drake May and Jaden Daniels, like I think the league's in good hands. It's just going to be interesting to see, Bryce necessarily can't really develop if he doesn't have players that can make plays around him. So I don't
For
know.
sure. And I'm glad you brought up that new era of quarterbacks because it really is an exciting time to follow the league. And every year there's new guys who burst onto the scene. Like we had Jordan Love and CJ Stroud come out of nowhere. I mean, Stroud not as much, but Love, he sat on the bench for 3 years. People didn't know much about him. All of a sudden, he's looking like he could be a top 10 quarterback. I mean, every year there's someone new. Like we got an exciting rookie class coming in. So the league is definitely in good hands and we'll see. We'll see what happens to Bryce, but I feel like I saw too much at Alabama, and the college is so different than the pros. Like,
Really different.
it's hard to compare, but he just seemed like such a good athlete, and he had such a good feel for what was happening around him. I think if they ultimately beef up the skill positions and get a better offensive line, he'll show some more flashes.
Yeah, I really hope they surround him with guys not named Adam Thielen and Jonathan Mingo, but Mingo's young, to be fair. But yeah, so I want to talk about Joe Flacco winning that award over DeMar. I think it was very well deserved. It's not a knock on DeMar. I just think the award makes more sense for Joe Flacco's situation. DeMar Hamlin, obviously, he died on the field. It's insane that I'm even saying that, but it's the truth. And it's remarkable that he's even playing in the NFL. No one's denying that. But when we talk about a guy that was, quite frankly, sitting on the couch, and then he led his team. They were 12-5, I'm pretty sure. And
Yeah.
went to the playoffs. They didn't really show up in the playoffs, but they still made it. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy how a guy like Joe Flacco, former New York Jet, can just get off of his ass and just throw a football and lead his team to be 12-5. And it's not like the Browns have the most talented offense in the league. Great defense, and their defense was great all season, but they lost Nick Chubb. They had Amari Cooper, who blossomed at the end of the season. Njoku was a great weapon too, but it's not like they were stacked on offense. So, like, do you agree with me? Because I think it's well deserved. Are you in the same boat as me, or do you think there is an argument for DeMar?
I mean, I'm in the same boat with you. I think it's like a tough thing to quantify because we're comparing players who contributed to their teams in different amounts. And when you look at Flacco and you look at the Browns, Flacco's a guy who hasn't really been taken seriously for 6, 7 years as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I watched him last few years with the Jets. He couldn't move. He couldn't really do anything. He looked like a sitting duck out there. And he comes into a situation with a team that lost both their starting tackles. They lost their star running back. They lost their $230 million quarterback and his backup and his backup. He came off his couch to a team that was fighting in the AFC where every team was over 500, except the Jets, of course. And he played his ass off and looked like Joe Flacco from 10 years ago and willed them to the playoffs and complimented their great defense and their star players very well. And it was a great story. And no one would have thought that the Browns would have made the playoffs given their injuries and given sort of the history of their franchise. So I think it was well deserved. The fact that DeMar played, the fact that he put on a uniform and stepped on an NFL field is an awesome story, and it's great for the sport and was really cool to see. But I think the fact that he didn't really contribute to his team at all this year sort of, made the result happen the way it did.
Yeah, I think we talk about contributing to a team. I think that fake punt was just absurd. I did just want to give that an honorable mention. Shout out to Mar. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you, but it's not like Joe even looked like a game manager. He was actually making very good throws all season. And crazy to see. I mean, the NFL at this point is just so unpredictable. Who even knows what's gonna happen? But very cool. And that kind of leads me to my next question. So, over the past decade, we've had seven MVPs, and Mahomes has won it multiple times. Lamar has won it multiple times. Rodgers has won it multiple times. And then Brady, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Peyton Manning. What would you say? Who would you say? And we're talking like per year, top three MVP seasons. I'm curious what you think. And I may or may not agree, but I am curious what you think about this.
Yeah, I love this question. I love looking back on previous NFL seasons and the landscape of the league and seeing who was playing well and who maybe had a down year. So, love the question. I think the best MVP of the last 10 years was Cam Newton in
Yep.
2015. I think that season doesn't get talked about enough. The Panthers were 15-1. And when's the last time we saw a 15-1 team? It's been a while. 15-1, you can't name more than three skill players on that team. They had Ted Ginn as their number one receiver. They had Greg Olsen, who was very good, very solid. Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams ended their careers. No studs on the offensive line. Their defense was good, led by Luke Kuechly. But that team, week in, week out, killed people. Like, ran up the score, walked into the Super Bowl. I know they lost ultimately, so it's probably a little bit of a damper on the season. But he was dominant. I mean, with his arm and with his legs, he was absolutely awesome. I honestly can't remember a more dominant season from a player than Cam Newton in 2015.
I agree. Yeah, let's go one by one. I actually like that a lot. I was gonna say Cam is my number one, but I honestly think it's a 1A, 1B with Lamar Jackson in 2019, the unanimous MVP. I think that was really where we saw Lamar be Lamar. I think that was the blossoming of Lamar Jackson, completely taking over the league on the run. I don't know the stats specifically. I do want to just look them up. I'm pretty sure his running stats were better than most running backs.
I think he ran for 1,000 yards.
He did run for 1,000 yards, but I think it was like
He ran for 1,000 yards and threw like 35 touchdowns or something.
he had
It's
the most
unbelievable.
touchdowns in the league. Yeah, I have to look this up, but yeah, he had 3,127 passing yards, 36 passing touchdowns, six interceptions in the season. And then if we're talking about rushing, he ran for over 1,200 yards. I mean, that is like,
Unheard of.
that's unheard of. It's like made up in a way. Like, makes no sense. And I know they lost that year pretty early in the divisional, but that's probably that's like a 1A, 1B for me. Cam took over the league, Super Cam, whatever you want to call him. But the unanimous MVP and Lamar Jackson, I just think that what a time that was. Just watching him take over the league was just something, man. I don't know. Who do you have as your third? I'm curious.
No, I mean it was fun to watch him, and I think the best part was that it was his first year as the full-time starter, which leads me to number two, Patrick Mahomes 2018, which was also his first year as a starter. And I think that's so impressive for me, where Mahomes was a backup for a year. He played a meaningless week 17 game against the Broncos his rookie year, and then he bursts onto the scene 2018 as the best player in football and really hasn't relinquished that title since. He threw for 50 touchdowns. I remember he started the year, he threw like six touchdowns in his first game and four touchdowns in his second game and was just dominant. And teams didn't know how to stop him. And I just think the way he burst onto the scene, the way he just sort of dominated and has been dominating ever since, I think that for me was the second best of the decade.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely. I want to give a shout out to Matt Ryan. I'm gonna have Matt Ryan in my top three, honestly, that you're pretty forgotten, honestly. But I think he threw for 38 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. Him and Julio Jones were one of the best duos in the league. People forget that Matt Ryan was. I honestly think Matt Ryan deserves a lot more love. I think that, despite him not being clutch or not being able to win, whatever it may be, he was always just a very serviceable quarterback. He reminds me of like Kirk Cousins in a way, like always just gonna like do his job. And yes, like towards the end of his career, obviously he regressed a little bit. Kirk's been pretty good lately, so whatever. But that duo, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman in the backfield, it was fun to watch. It was definitely from a Julio Jones fanatic. I'm the huge Julio guy. I think Julio is the best receiver of all time. Not named Jerry Rice. I think that I just love that duo. Matt Ryan had a great MVP season. Of course, 28-3 kind of just negates it all. But I'm gonna say Matt Ryan's in my top three for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan won an MVP in a year where Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, just Drew Brees were still playing. Like, he stole that MVP, and he deserved it. He was awesome that year. So, yeah, I like that call. My third would be Aaron Rodgers 2020, his first, I guess, the first of the two, 2020, 2021. I love the story behind that. I love that they drafted Jordan Love. They take him in the first round. Rodgers is asking for offensive line help for another receiver alongside Devontae. They take Jordan Love, and what does he do? Rodgers comes out pissed. He comes out mad, and he plays maybe the best season of his career. The narrative's going into the year where Rodgers is washed. He's fallen off a bit. He's not as good. He comes in and has maybe his best season of his Hall of Fame career. Packers get the one seed easily. They were dominant. They were killing teams. And people forget if David Bakhtiari doesn't tear his ACL, they might win the Super Bowl that year. That sort of flipped their season, and I love the story that they sort of punted on the year almost by using their first round pick on a quarterback, and Rodgers said, "Okay, you're going to do that. Here's what I'm going to do." And I was always impressed by that.
And now he's your own quarterback, so
Yeah, for
that'll
four
be
whole
fun.
plays.
Yeah, seriously. But I always love those kind of questions. It's always really cool to look back on history. Like, I feel like a lot of it, we're so focused on now. It's like crazy to think like Rodgers was a back-to-back MVP 3 years ago, like
Yeah.
crazy, or 2 years ago, 3 years. NFL is great. I love talking about football. I can do it for hours. I kind of want to shift into the NBA. All-Star game. I'm seeing a lot of backlash on it. I want to hear your take on it. I want to hear what you think about the All-Star game as a whole, because you know what's going on. Everyone that's listening knows what's going on. It's kind of becoming a joke, but what do you think about? Is it just, how do you view it? How do you view the All-Star game nowadays? How can you view it?
Yeah, I mean, this might be a bit of a cop-out answer, but it's such a tough situation because when you have an all-star game that's during the season, you're just going to naturally have players not caring as much. They don't want to get themselves hurt. They don't want to put extra miles on their bodies. It's really tough to get people motivated and get them to really care. And I don't really see how the league can make it more than a glorified exhibition game, which is what it is now. And it's still fun. Like, I'll still flip it on. I like seeing the best players in the world doing crazy things, but it's just hard to get that competitiveness out of the game. And I really don't know how the league sort of fixes that.
I think, yeah, and I agree with you. I think there's a couple ways you could fix it. I think you could add in a advantage, like home court advantage for the finals. I think that gives them something to play for. I think any kind of incentive, like any kind of bonus. I mean, a lot of these guys are multimillionaires, whatever. But I do think something like that, because it's crazy. The one year that I think it was last year, the year before, when they had to play to a certain number, that was awesome. Like, I think it was 160, I forget what it was. I don't know what the score was, but they had to play to that number. And we were watching very competitive basketball in the last like 4 minutes at least. I thought it was spectacular. So there's definitely things they can do. It's just a matter of like, will they do it? Because after watching this All-Star weekend, like Jaylen Brown should never be in the dunk contest again. I thought that was ridiculous. I thought any of us, if we were whatever. And I don't know, it just seemed off. The entire weekend seemed off. Scottie Barnes was ridiculous. And it seemed like a joke. It seemed like a joke, which sucks because I love the NBA. I really do. I'm not one of those people that's like college ball is much better than NBA. No, like the NBA product, in my opinion, like it's had the finals have been some of the best games I've ever watched. Cavs Warriors, like 2015, 2016. The Warriors 2022, the Nuggets, like there's been a lot of good, a lot of great finals, like a lot. And I just don't want that necessarily diminished by, I guess I could just say this, the joke of the All-Star game. And it's going to be something that Adam Silver will definitely change. I honestly really do like him. I think he's very on top of things. And, you know, they implemented the in-season tournament this year. He's always willing to change things up to please the fans. So I do think he's going to do something about it. But look, I thought they were going somewhere with changing it back to East versus West. They didn't go anywhere with it. We just watched Cat pull up from half court the whole game. And if you're a Timberwolves fan, it's fun. But for us, we don't really give a shit. So it's something they need to fix up. But I did want to talk about the NBA season as a whole. I think now that football is over, we're kind of all shifted to the NBA. And Max is a huge Knicks fan. I'm surrounded by Knicks fans everywhere I go. I understand the hype. It's a really exciting time. So how about you talk about your Knicks and, you know, you talk about how excited you are for the playoffs and even maybe the finals for the Knicks.
Yeah, I would love nothing more. So thank you for teeing me up there. But yeah, it's an exciting time in New York. All throughout my life, the Knicks have kind of been a laughing stock. They've been a bit of a joke, and they finally have the right people in charge of the team who have really put a competitive product on the court. They look good this year. I mean, Jalen Brunson is a legitimate superstar. He's a legitimate number one option on a playoff team. They sputtered a little bit into the break because they just got to get healthy. They have a lot of injuries, but the team is really good. Tibbs is getting the most out of them as he usually does. It's well built. They have scoring. They have defenders. They have hustle guys. They have a deep bench. I'm really excited to see where it goes, but they just got to get healthy at the right time. I wanted to pose a question for you because I have been thinking about this, and I don't think I would put the Knicks in this group, but how many teams do you think can realistically win the finals? Like, where is the cutoff of a team where you would say, "Oh, I'm surprised they won it all"? Because I think the Knicks, I would be surprised if they won it all. And I think every year there's only a handful. So I was wondering how many there are this year in your eyes.
You would be surprised if they won it all, or you wouldn't?
I would be surprised.
Okay, so I think Boston can win. I think the
For sure.
Bucks win despite their struggles. I think we both kind of agree with that. I think the Knicks can win. I really do. And look, if the Sixers have Embiid, they can win. The Cavs, I'm unsure about. I have no idea. I think they can win, but I don't have them as high. I put more trust in the other teams, in the Celtics, Bucks, Knicks, and Sixers. I trust them all over the Cavs. I don't care how hot they are. We've seen these regular season teams get hot and win a ton of games. The Knicks just seem they have more of a killer instinct, all of them. Brunson is just more of a dog, I think, than D. Mitch. And then in the West, I mean, look, I don't know how to judge Minnesota and OKC. They're both, you know, they're very, it's very comparable to the Cavs. They're both kind of just playing well in the regular season. We don't know much about their playoff experience, obviously. I think the Clippers are honestly the best team in the West. I think
I
they,
agree.
as long as they're healthy, I don't see anybody beating them. Obviously, Denver is Denver. They can obviously win. Can't sleep on Phoenix with those three. I still think Golden State can win, as crazy as that sounds. So I just named a ton of teams. So Clippers, Nuggets, Suns, Warriors. That's really it for the West. And then Celtics, Bucks, Knicks, Sixers. So I'd say about seven teams. I think that's, or eight teams. I'd say like that's probably what I would say, which is a lot. I mean, those are a lot of teams.
Good for the league though. It means it's a
It's
competitive
great
year.
for.
There's a lot of really good teams. There's a lot of really good players. I mean,
Yeah, and it's been like that ever since the Cavs, Warriors, all that, those dynasties kind of fell apart with, KD kind of blowing up those franchises. But yeah, I think the NBA, it's interesting because the product has been very back and forth, back and forth. I'm all for it this year. I think it's very good this year. I think it's very competitive. We're seeing an MVP season from Shea. We're seeing a lot of different things. We're seeing Jokic still dominate the league. We're seeing the Warriors starting to play better basketball again. The Lakers are still somehow in the mix. They're playing fine. So it's interesting. And who's your finals pick?
good question.
I don't mean to call you off guard, but who would you say is your favorite?
I really want to say the Clippers. I mean, they have been playing so well. They have a legitimate big three that is scary, scary, scary. Paul George, Kawhi, and James Harden, when he's playing the way he is now, is really tough to beat. But just the history of that franchise, the history of that team, the history of James Harden, I don't think I can say them. I think I'm going to take the easy way out and say the Nuggets will make it out of the West. Jokic is just the best player in the world, and when they're clicking and they're all playing together, that team chemistry is insane, and Jokic is just unstoppable offensively. So I'd take the Nuggets in the West, and honestly, this may surprise people, but I would take the Bucks out of the East. I know they kind of look a little shaky. I mean, every time. They lost to the Grizzlies the other night, like before the All-Star break. I mean, they seem to drop games like the elite teams in the NBA do not. They're kind of the only one that just sort of has surprising losses here and there. But I really think they're still figuring each other out. I mean, Dame and Giannis haven't even played 60 games together yet, and they're two of the 15 best players in the world, 12 best players in the world. So once they sort of get more used to playing with each other and they get more used to playing for Doc, I think I would watch out for them. I think Giannis is the best player in the East. He's on a tear. He is playing his heart out. He is putting up numbers left and right. And I think in the playoffs, it'll be hard to stop him. So I would say Bucks Nuggets. And I can't give you a winner yet. I would have to see it on play a little bit. I
Next
want to say the
episode,
Nuggets repeat, but yeah, we'll go next episode. What's your pick?
So I'll give you my matchup and I'll save my winner for the next episode. I may seem crazy for this prediction, but on the east side, it won't be that crazy. I think Boston's going to make it again. I think they're too good. I think the starting lineup is just too good. Their bench is starting to come alive. They have everything they need. They have the best starting five in basketball. They have, I mean, all their guys can guard basically one through five. So Boston will make it out of the East. Think the Warriors make it out of the West somehow. I think
Wow.
they find a way somehow. They will make the play-in, but I think they will make it to the finals. And I don't know who's going to win because you got to think, like, if they make it again, first of all the one seeds go out the window because it's the Golden State Warriors, no matter what. If they make the playoffs, even as an eight seed, I don't care because they have Steph Curry. Klay Thompson obviously has fallen off a little bit, but if he's himself, there's no stopping him. Draymond's really been stepping up lately. Kuminga's looking like a budding star.
Kuminga.
Yeah, Kuminga's looked great
He's
recently.
awesome.
Like they have guys that can play. I think they had a lot of struggles to begin with, but once they started to click and it wasn't all just Draymond punching people and everything, I think they really found a really just like a nice baseline, like a nice, like a reminder that they are the Warriors. They know what it's like to win championships. They have four of them. I think they make it out. And it's interesting because I'm saying this because I think they're going to be a 7 seed or an 8 seed, and I think they're going to be matched up against the Thunder or Timberwolves. I think they win both of those series, not easily, but I think they beat either team in seven. At that point, that would lead to the Nuggets or the Suns. Like, you got to think, like, it's still Steph, it's still Klay, it's still Draymond. I mean, Kuminga looks great. Wiggins hasn't been himself now. Like, what if he just starts to click? I like them a lot. I think as long as they get into the dance, they can easily make the finals. So I'm going to go with a rematch of last year's finals, Celtics Warriors. And I'm going to have a pick next week, but I won't say my early thoughts now. I'll save those for next week. But look, great talking. Max, pleasure to have you on, man. You killed it, obviously. It's a great time having you on here. Definitely will have you back. I think the fans are getting ready to hear our picks for our next episode. But seriously, man, good stuff. And welcome to the ATS family, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. And looking forward to keeping the listeners on their toes when we give our picks next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, TikTok. You know the drill. Much love.